Welcome to the YBNB show. And those of you who follow, you know that periodically I do shows on body, mind and business, because the premise of YBNB is very much that performance in life and enjoyment of life and progress in life has to be holistic. And there are many, many components to life, but we focus in on body, mind and business. And I love to have people on the podcast to talk about, you know, their perspective on life and how they sort of contribute to other people and add value and help them perform. And so I have an unusual guest today. I have Lucy Manzi, and she is the founder of Organized by Lucy. Hello, Lucy.
Hi. Hi, Angela.
Thank you very much for being here. So when I say that Lucy is coming to speak to us about an aspect of mindset and performing in that area, you know, in sort of mental well-being, probably wouldn't expect me to then say that her speciality is to organize people's homes, because, you know, one would think, how does that work? But I think as you as we continue through the conversation, it's going to become clear how the two are very much linked. So yeah, welcome Lucy, and let's start by you telling us a bit more about what you do.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. So as you mentioned, I am a home organizer. So essentially what we do is we go into someone's space. We do a deep dive on certain areas, whether it be a whole flat, whether it be a wardrobe, a kitchen, a garage, and we get everything out, which is a really cathartic experience. You start to go through everything that you do and do not want. And it's really a process to get you thinking about what is it that you need? What are things that serve a purpose in your life? And what are the things that actually like serve you as things at home? And so we do the declutter process with the client to really get them to think about what they do and don't need. And once that process has been done, we then crack on with the organize. So it would either be myself and my team. And we would put and implement systems to ensure that life is simplified. I think that is the aim of what we do. Yeah. So that you know where your keys are in the morning, so that you know what food you have in your cupboards. And it's just to ensure that by streamlining and creating systems, you can just live an easier life.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I've had firsthand experience of that, because you've come and done that for me twice and my daughter. And you know, no doubt I'll have you in again at some stage, because I'm not particularly good at maintaining it. So we'll talk about that a bit later. But you're so good at this. I mean, you know all the right things to ask. And it's just fascinating how you ask the right things and you get it in order, so that when you do leave, yeah, I mean, it just fits your life. So what's your background? I mean, how did you get to this point? What prompted you to start the business, and where did you get the skills from?
So I actually grew up in Africa. So I grew up in South Africa, and then I lived in Zimbabwe. And the reason I mention that is I actually think that my upbringing, my very simple upbringing of not having a lot of things, has really contributed to where this sort of passion came from. Right. So I grew up in Africa, came over to England when I was 14, spent my teenage years here, and then trained to be a teacher, went to uni, trained to be a teacher at the age of 21, taught for a good sort of 6 years. And then I went to Sydney with my husband for 2 years. And over there, I actually decided not to teach. I wanted to do something completely different. And so I worked for a startup interiors company. And as I was working there, I've had such a passion in how your home can make you feel. I was just like, it is phenomenal how, you know, how a space can completely transform your mood.
Mm.
So I started thinking a bit more about this, and then went on to have 3 children. And it was during lockdown, where everyone was spending so much time in their home, that I really started to focus on this element of how your mental health and your well-being is so affected by the space that you're in.
Mm.
And so October 20, and I was like, how can I help this in, you know, any way? I've always been passionate about organizing. I've always had a very organized home. And so I just, you know, watched things like Marie Kondo and The Home Edit and thought, oh my gosh, this is actually a profession. This is a job.
Yeah.
So I married sort of my passion for interiors and teaching, coaching and organizing. And so October 2020 started up Organized by Lucy. And it's just phenomenal, like the demand that's out there. Yeah. Because we, and I think people have a misconception that my clients are disorganized, when in actual fact, no, my clients are people who want to be very organized and really thrive off organization, but they're time poor. And so, because if you want to do a really good organize, you have to dive deep and you have to do the whole holistic approach of getting everything out.
Yeah.
And that can take, as you know,
yeah,
days. So that's where the business started. And it's just sort of grown from there.
And you've got, you know, really such a wide range of clients. I mean, you've got your fair share of really well-known celebrity clients with, you know, huge properties and everything, because anyone can see it on your Instagram. Actually, we'll get all your links later, and it's fascinating. It's really fun to look at. But you also do, like you said, small flats and small spaces, and so it's for the ordinary working person, as well as, you know, it's no longer regarded, I don't think, this type of thing as like an absolute luxury. It can be such a key component of someone's sort of the way they run their life. I mean, I always say this to people when I'm sort of coaching them maybe for a body transformation, and I say, you know, go get a blood test, and they'll find it 70 quid. And like, I have to say to them, look, you would spend that without thinking on your car, for example, or thousands on a holiday.
Yeah,
you know,
or dinner, Yeah,
or dinner. So definitely it's accessible. And I think it's becoming more and more essential as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think as well, you know, to some people, it will be an investment. It will, but it's, I truly believe it's an investment that transforms your life. You probably sing from a similar hymn sheet, in the sense that it's an investment to, you know, start a bit like looking at your body and looking at your lifestyle and investing in good food, supplements, all of those things.
Mm.
But it is an overarching, it's an overriding thing of self-care.
Exactly. And that extends to the space that you're in as well, doesn't it?
Exactly that. Yeah.
And I think what I like as well about your approach is that there has been a movement more latterly about minimalism, throwing everything out, you know, literally living in a blank white space. But you leave it sort of super tidy and organized, but you still, I think, are really good at sort of identifying special places for special things, and you still want to make sure that they're all on show and stuff like that. So I think, you know, it's a very personal touch. That's what I found.
Oh,
so,
good. I'm glad you found that. That is part of our ethos. I hope you found, like, when we go into people's houses, I would not ever tell anyone to throw anything away.
No, not at all.
It's like you facilitate, and you might ask certain questions to get you to think about what it is that you do and don't need. But it would never come from me. And as you can see behind me, like, I celebrate color. I celebrate things that bring me happiness.
Yeah.
I think home decluttering and organizing is not about getting rid of everything. It's about having things that you love, that do spark that happiness, that you look at and you go, oh my gosh, that's a memory from then. And, you know, and then, and just taking out all the dead weight and the dead space, that
the stuff that's dragging you down, piles of paper, things that are not tidy in drawers. Because I do think, you know, especially as I've become a lot more aware of frequency and energy and vibration, and for sure, if an untidy cupboard is bothering you, it doesn't matter that you can't actually see it and that the cupboard's shut. You do really feel the dragging on your energy of that type of thing. So, I mean, you know, I've got a lot of positive feedback for a number of reasons. I really, really think that the whole decluttering and organizing of your space really, really helps your performance in other areas of life. I mean, we could go on and on, you know, when I think about it, I mean, everything from remembering your keys to feeling comfortable about, oh, actually, I can fit more people in around the table for dinner because now I've found all my chairs and, you know, and everything sort of, you know, to hand. But what sort of feedback have you had from clients about the way that it's actually impacted their life?
Oh, we've been really lucky with the feedback we've had. Oh my gosh, because my clients come from like all different walks of life, it's really fascinating. So some initial, like instant feedback on the day is people like literally bursting into tears. And
Oh.
I know, and being like, you have no idea how much this was weighing me down. People who have newborn babies who just cannot get their head around how to, even declutter a spare room so that like family can come and stay. So
Yeah.
like giving them a space back, and they're just like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe you've done that in a day. So that sort of feedback that has come from like perhaps a sad place. So where people have had to declutter after a terminal illness or the loss
Yeah,
of a loved
bereavement.
one,
Yeah.
and having us there just to guide them through it in a really non-judgmental, soft way, sensitive way. The feedback you get from that is like it's really
Oh,
heartwarming.
lovely.
Yeah,
And
and then
you go on.
no, sorry. And then I was just gonna say, like, just general feedback from, well, sometimes you have people being like, you saved my marriage.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
Sometimes, there might be one partner who struggles to maintain
Yeah.
things more than the other. So yeah, we're really.
And I imagine it makes people fall back in love with their home as well. I bet it, at some stage someone was thinking of moving, just easier
Yeah,
than
absolutely.
tidying everything up. Yeah. So I definitely get that. Now people are going to be listening and thinking, well, what does she do? Is it magic? Does she sort of wave a magic wand? I mean, what would be your tips when, if someone is sort of thinking about this and thinking about engaging you, or maybe they want to have a go themselves? I don't know. I mean, I know you're national, aren't you? You go around the country, do you?
Well, at the moment, we are sort of London and Greater London.
Okay, yeah. So currently, great. I know that you're expanding and you're launching some courses as well. We'll talk about that later. But okay, so someone's outside of your remit and geographical area. And they want to have a go. Give us some of your top tips for how they can get themselves organized.
So I think if you're doing it yourself and you're at home, what I wouldn't encourage you to do is to do the deep dive into a space, because I think unless you have a good 8 hours free, you're not running off picking up children or having to answer an email, you really want to have a clear head when you're starting. So I would suggest tackling like a smaller area or perhaps like two or three cupboards at a time. So break it down into chunks, get everything out, really look at things with an eye of, is it serving a purpose? Do I love it? Am I keeping an item out of guilt, for example? Like, have I been gifted something that actually isn't my style, or I don't, I'm never going to wear it, but I'm keeping it because I feel guilty. And for me, actually, the guilt should come from keeping that item and it not being used. Don't get it. Somebody will love it. Someone out there, someone bought it for you because they probably loved it. So create piles of keep, donate, and throw.
Keep, donate, and throw.
And really start to think about categorization. So where would you put a particular item in your house? So, is it that things have just ended up in the kitchen that really should be living in the playroom? All those sorts of things. And then you can start to break it down and streamline it. And then you can organize that space and perhaps rehouse items elsewhere that don't live in that area. The other thing I would say as well is before buying things, really think about the same process. Do I need it? Do I love it? Does it serve a purpose? When am I going to wear it, for example? Am I buying in bulk just for the sake of it? Like, do I need to buy this much excess? So that actually you start to think about your buying habits even before it enters your house as
Yeah,
well.
yeah.
Yeah.
And what I think as well is great is that when you do the donate or throw, you actually organize and people can do this for themselves. You organize charities to come and pick stuff up. And obviously we've all got charity shops near us, but not much stuff gets chucked in the bin unless it's broken or really can't be used. I mean, it all goes somewhere else, and then the lovely thing is it is going to be used. But
Exactly.
sometimes you can even sell things, so definitely worth doing that and going through it. And what I think as well is once you've got a space sorted, if you're trying to do other things in your life, like you want to go to the gym on a regular basis, or, you know, you wanted a revamp of how you look in terms of like a fashion upgrade or just a new look, or, you know, you've got a really important interview to go to or something. What I love as well about what you've done is, and what you do for people, and as I said, that people can do for themselves as well, is, okay, so where is all my gym kit going to go? And, you know, what one of the things that you and your team spoke to me about was, okay, what's your routine in the morning when you get up? Like, where do you go? What do you generally put on? So it was like, put all the gym kit here. Oh, and then the trainers. And then I normally wear a, you know, a long sleeve top over to, so put all those together. And then if it's cold, I'll have a coat, and then I might put a hat, and then off I walk out and pick the keys and go, you know. And so it was like very much working out what your day to day life is like. And that actually then really prepares you for when you go to the gym, everything's matching all the time. Everyone thinks you're, you know, style extraordinaire because you've got everything super matching. Or, you know, you now feel confident because you've got all these clothes that you'd forgotten to wear or didn't know where they were. And now you've got all the matching bits and everything, and you can go to that interview. Or so, you know, and people go, wow, that looks nice. And you've had it for years, but you've just not worn it for ages.
Yeah, exactly that. And I think also it saves you money because you're not buying duplicates of stuff actually you already have, but it's just shoved at the back of the cupboard and you don't know it.
There's so much payback. Yeah, it really is.
And I think as well, like you were talking about there, it's about ease, and like it's about that outfit building. So, you know, think about, like you said, like think about what do I wear and when, what do I wear the most of? You know, what is it that I feel good in? Like just all of those questions that sometimes we just need to stop and think about yourself and think about how, you know, how is the space actually going to work for me and tailor it to that.
You also do really good things with storage. You bring different types of storage in, see-through containers and things like that, which I found are really great for the kitchen because you can see exactly if you're picking up all the different products every morning, like the coffee and the porridge or whatever it is you're picking up. It's all there, and you know when it's running out, and you don't have all packets undone and everything. So that's great. And you also do that really good thing about, okay, so this is the winter season stuff. So that can go in transparent boxes out of the way. You have your current season stuff in front of you.
Absolutely. And I think that's a space saving technique. You know, if you don't have a walk-in wardrobe, which the majority of us don't, you know, you can do a seasonal switchover. And that way as well, it might allow you to keep a little bit more than you would have done had you shoved it all in together, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's a really easy thing that, like, when the seasonal switch is implemented, it is a direct switch. You just go, right, okay, like for me with my stuff, all my jumpers are out now, but what will happen, all my summer dresses are folded away, and I will just do a direct switch come sort of like March, April, fingers crossed.
I mean, I just came back from holiday, and it was the easiest thing in the world to pack.
Good. Oh, yay!
Because the swimwear was all in one place, all beautifully folded. And it was the easiest thing, and to unpack as well.
Where did you go? Where were you?
To the Maldives.
Oh,
yeah, it was so nice over New Year. Although it did rain a few days, but it was so lovely. Yeah, and I had COVID actually over Christmas. Terrible. It was really bad actually. I've heard that a lot of people got a very bad dose of it over Christmas.
I've heard the same actually.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yeah, lots of, and also a lot of people saying that long COVID was more prevalent this time around.
Yeah, it was really, yours really bad as well. Yeah, because the first time I had COVID, I mean, I'm sure people are interested in listening because I bet they'll you know, relate to this. The first time I had it was just like 2 days done. And but this one was really knocked me for six, like a good 8 days, 10 days. Yeah.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Mm, really bad. Yeah. But, you know, so again, it was nice having a lovely organized space around me to sort of, you know, spend Christmas alone in, because I couldn't go to my family. I didn't give it to anyone.
Oh, so was Annabelle, was she?
She was in the country. And the rest of my family. But I couldn't give it to them. So I was so ill. I was just on the sofa and in bed, you know, and trundling back between the two for a few days.
I'm so sorry, because that's rough. Like,
especially it was
if you're kind of in your space and you're just like, oh, just go for that, you know, go for a walk or
I
something.
know. So how do you recommend that people maintain? Because for me, I had you to come back, I think, about a year, probably about a year, years in between. But that was me sort of doing that transition, that seasonal transition. Yeah. And, you know, it was obviously lovely to sort of have you and your team back again as well and do a bit more. And I'm going to ask you to come back and do someone else's as well soon. But but tell me how, you know, any tips for maintenance once it's all done and lovely?
Yeah, absolutely. I think once you've got the system in place, the upkeep is actually just as important, because, you know, life gets busy, life gets in the way, and it's quite easy for things to start building up again. So it's just about changing really small habits. So in the kitchen, for maintenance, like if your habit before was to buy a lot of food and to buy in excess, to really, now that you can see everything, to really pull that back and think about, you know, perhaps meal planning. So thinking about, like, what are we going to do this week, and just buy accordingly. So that's one tip for the maintenance, perhaps in the kitchen. Maintenance just generally around the house. So, you know, piles creep up here and there. And one thing I actually...
They do appear, don't they? All of
I know. I know. Yeah. You're suddenly like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
But I do. Like, I've got three children. So, you know, piles of artwork that comes home, posts, you know, those things. I actually have a basket that lives on a countertop in my kitchen. It floats around a bit, but like generally lives on my kitchen. And everything goes in there, documents. And then about once every 2 to 3 days, I just go through it. I mean, I'm a bit ruthless with artwork, children's artwork. I'm just a bit, unless it's spark some sort of emotion in me, it is going in the bin.
You're
gonna think I'm like really dead inside.
Well, there's only so much of it that can go, you know, in a frame or pin to the fridge, isn't there?
Precisely. You know? I wouldn't even pin any to the fridge. But I'm just like, you know, they have their sentimental boxes. It will go in there. Will go in there. So like a basket just to kind of keep the clutter spilling everywhere.
That's a good idea. And then just sorting that out and putting it back into the places it should be every few days.
Or actioning it. So if there's things you need to action, or, you know, another thing is also like having something at the bottom of your stairs that just means you take stuff upstairs, you take stuff downstairs, and that again just keeps that momentum. And like I think I touched on before is carving out time. So we carve out time, you know, to eat. We carve out time to work out. Just carving out that little bit of time to keep on top of the home and areas that have been organized. And it might be that, you know, your cutlery drawer is looking a little bit gross and has like crumbs. That will take you 10 minutes. Take everything out, give it a little wash, put it back in, and then every time you open it, you're not going to have that frustration.
That little annoyance,
That little annoyance that, you know, you're opening that drawer every day, and apply that to different areas of the house, and it does just become easier. Carving out time is definitely an important one. And also just getting other people in the house involved. Getting them to, you know, it's not your sole responsibility to... maintain the whole house if there are, like me, five of you in the house.
So
I do get my children involved. They know what the systems are, they know, you know, where things live in the playroom, and so it is their responsibility to put things back.
I think it's such a great idea, you know, to enroll family members as almost team members when you're trying to get something. I often say this to people when they want to start a shift in the way they eat, how they train, you know, their daily routine, their evening routine. And you know, very often, especially females, but, you know, men as well, they will say, oh, I couldn't sort of just eat that, or I couldn't, like, my partner won't do that, or my kids, you know, they get up so early, or but it's, I always say, well, you know, talk to them about what your goals are and what's going to make you happy. And you'd be surprised at how people sort of just get enrolled in it. And then you find that you have a lovely ripple effect, whether, you know, it's with you where everyone becomes just more organized, which benefits them all long term. Or, you know, with me, everyone sort of starts to say, you know, well, my family now are eating like that, and we're all going out for a walk together. And, Yeah, makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's
Across to
exactly.
business, you know, obviously you've built this lovely business since only October 2020. It just shows what's possible. And you've got three children and busy and everything. You did it at the end of lockdown, you were saying. How's that been for you? Because you've got a great team, and I know that you're looking to expand and you're launching a course and everything. So tell us how it's been and what the plans are.
I think when I started, I thought, oh great, I'm gonna have my own business. I'm gonna have loads of flexibility around everything. And then, as you know, being a really successful female business owner, like you just have this drive, this constant drive that is sometimes really difficult to switch off. And I think it's been quite a steep learning curve for me. Especially to the tail end of last year, where I was really burning out. I think I got in touch with you and was like, I need to get fitter. I need to focus on my own health, and self-care, because I'm so focused on like sorting out everyone else's health. And so this year, the 2024 is like the year of just being really strict with my boundaries. Saying no to more, but whilst also thinking about like thinking like a CEO, thinking how am I actually going to grow this business successfully, keep the quality, keep customers really happy and feeling really supported and nurtured. So I think for me it's been a journey of saying yes to everything, building the business really quickly. And then really seeing the impact of that on health, relationships, and all of the above. And then having a bit of a reset and just being like, okay, now the boundaries come into play for everyone, for everyone's benefit. So I find it fascinating. I find the whole journey of running your business fascinating.
What we said before, wasn't it, is especially when someone's not necessarily come from a business background, that they start a business because they've been really, really good at doing something, and then they start this business and it's wonderful. I mean, I often get people saying, look, you know, I'm so busy, I think I want to start my own business, you know, I want a bit more free time. And I always, you know, I laugh to myself and then make it very clear to them what they're taking on, you know, because we can be, well, we're our own boss then, and we can be out the boss from hell, you know, because we give ourselves no time and pay ourselves last and never, you know, never take any excuses. So yeah, there is a transition that, you know, you go through where you're all full of hope, and then you start to get some results and some clients, and it's a real business and it feels great. But then, yeah, you get to that tipping point where it's just too much. And then you start building a thing. You have to take that step, which I know you're doing now, where you're sort of standing back and going, well, okay, so am I going to build a business, like an entity now, which is separate from me? And what's that going to look like? And how am I going to get there? Which is another really exciting phase as well. And that means you're going to be able to add loads more value as well to more people and widen your, you know, impact and everything, I'm sure. But part of that is this course that you're issuing for other individuals who actually would love to follow in your footsteps and become an organizer. So tell us a bit about that. When's it launching, and what sort of things are in it?
So it's launching in April. And it is going to be an online course. And it is going, the general overview is that of delving deep into how to set up a business, sort of what's your USP, what are your values, really understanding what your business is going to look like. And then we're going to go into the how to, like how to organize, how to get your clients, how to think about consultations, storage planning, all of those sorts of things. Then I'm going to get sort of specialists in their field to do master classes. So I'm going to have like a social media manager come and do a whole sort of master class on social media. I'm going to get a business coach to come and do a lot on mindset and manifest everything like that. And then I'm also going to get somebody to come in and talk about finances, sole trader versus
Your company.
yes,
So
exactly. My brain was like dead. So financial aspects, so that I really want, so I have people signed up for the course now. I'm keeping the cohorts really small. So I've got two groups of 10. And I just really want them to feel like supported, nurtured on the course. and then go on to like open a really successful home organization business. I just think,
amazing.
I'm really excited. I'm really excited about it.
That'd be really good. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that people will love that. And if they actually want to use your services, or if they just want to look at all of the different things that you do, and where's the best place for them to follow you?
So Instagram, my handle is at Organized by Lucy. All of my work is pretty much showcased on there. And then also my website, so organizedbylucy.com. And just that would give you more of an overview about our services and pricing, everything like that. That's where you'd go.
Oh, well, I think that's anything else that we can talk about, anything else you wanted to add. But I think, you know, it's given us a great overview.
No, thanks, Angela. Like it's just been so lovely to actually just chat.
Yeah.
When I've come and met you previously, it's been on us working, and I know that you've been working whilst we've been doing it.
And
just hearing your sort of wealth of knowledge is invaluable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I should add that as well, is I think I had some sort of, I don't know, I was doing a webinar or something and your team were there. And it was crazy. I mean, you know, they managed to do so much in the background. They were tiptoeing about this. And I finished this webinar because I was really engrossed in it.
Yeah.
And I turned around and they were just sort of waving and they'd just done everything, you know. So you don't have to sort of, as the homeowner, you know, if you're really busy and you work from home, they'll sort that out as well. They accommodate your little dog and just really, really great. So, no, I think you do an amazing job. So, and it really, really add value. For all sorts of people, I think, as you said, you know, whether it's new mums, mums at home, you know, busy entrepreneurs working from home, running about, you know, I think it's so valuable for everybody. And like I say, really helps in other aspects of life. So, yeah, it's a really great service we didn't know we needed till you appeared.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that feedback.
Oh, all right. Well, lovely to speak to you, and see you soon.
Yeah. Take care, Angela.
Bye-bye.